Hello, and you're all very welcome along to another episode of the Gaelic Statsman podcast. I'm your host, Matt Hurley. And on today's show, it is the Allianz League final weekend. It is a big weekend of action. We have Leash against Leitrim on Saturday in Croke Park. We also have Down against Westmead and the big two games on Sunday. Firstly, between Donegal Armagh and Dublin against Derry. Four, indeed, cracking games in store this weekend. And we'll discuss other games happening this weekend, as well as a few other stories. So I'm delighted to be joined by Seamus Brady from Eau Claire once again for this podcast. So, Seamus, we've reached the weekend of the league final. So I'm sure you're all ready to go for it. But before we get into your views, I want to mention our sponsors at Capture Athletics. If you want to get the best year-round, check them out if you haven't already. So, Seamus, league final weekend this weekend. You excited?
Yeah, definitely, Matthew. I'm buzzing for it. Thanks for having me on again. Always a pleasure. Looking forward to diving into this episode. Big weekend, no doubt about it. And it's definitely the final pairing that I think the league, certainly in Division 1 anyway for Dublin and Derry, it's probably the most enticing pairing that you could make, maybe. Like, you've got Derry, who were flawless up until they played Dublin. And apart from playing Dublin, they've been flawless. And Dublin, even though they beat Derry, have not been flawless. Dublin got beaten by Monaghan and beaten by Mayo. But their turnaround from from round three on has been absolutely sensational. So it is enticing. It's a hell of a final to look at. And there's storylines in every division that you go. Division two, you've got Armagh, Donegal. They're two of the only three unbeaten teams across all four divisions. They haven't put a foot wrong, really, in their entire league campaign. So who hangs on to that record is going to be fascinating to watch. Division 3, you've got Down and Westmeath, who both seemed on a one-way ticket out of Division 3, but then both almost were in positions where they didn't go up. And yet, here they go. They find themselves in this Division 3 final. And in Division 4, like, Leash have been that team in Division 4, yet the only team to beat them was Leitrim. So they're going head-to-head into that final. Like, four really, really interesting football league finals to take place. And you were saying to me off air, we're going to talk about the split season. That's the only dampener, is that you have a situation where Westmead and Down are going into their game, and the importance of that game isn't 100% obvious to both teams. And like, there's still situations where you have teams that are going to be playing very, very soon after this game. Like, you've got like Saturday, 6th of April, like literally next week, like London play against Galway and Ruislip. Like, it's crazy that it's starting that soon.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the championship's only just a few days away. Like, even Cork are playing against Limerick next weekend. And I was speaking to a few Cork fans earlier today. Most people have actually forgotten the fact that the league final is this weekend. The championship starts so early next weekend. But we'll move on to the weekend Gaelic games. And that is the only topic we're going to talk about, because a few managers have gone on and talked about this, the split season. And it's probably for a bigger debate another day, for a video on changes to the Gaelic Games calendar and stuff like that. Hopefully there'll be videos to come on our channels in the next few days or next few weeks about that in particular. But like, Jim McGuinness was talking about this after the Donegal B game the other night. So was Colm O'Rourke, and they were absolutely flabbergasted in many ways that intercounty teams go from straight away basically the league into the championship. And a lot of people were actually asking for the league finals to be scrapped. Then you had people coming out this week, like Samuel Roy on Twitter, saying that the league finals are there for a purpose for counties like Loud, like Leitrim this weekend, who are playing their sixth appearance ever in Croke Park, which is a big, massive achievement for them. And you've Tomás O'Shea even come out of the RTGA podcast today to say that, yes, it is a problem for the bigger teams, because they're going straight at the championship maybe next week or the week after that. But for smaller teams, the likes of Leash, the likes of Leitrim, the likes of Westmeath, it's a chance for them to shine this weekend as well. So honestly, Seamus, the league finals being scrapped, what some people are suggesting, I think it's, to be honest, in many people's opinions, that is ludicrous. And a lot of people's opinions at the same time think that league finals should be scrapped. But I'd be pointing towards the bigger elephant in the room, pre-season competitions in January. Why do we have them? Because that's actually pushing back more on the league onus than with the pre-season competitions going. You could easily have a situation in putting the league at the start of the league in the middle of January, and then these problems wouldn't arise. Because I honestly think college competitions need the split season, the clubs need the split season, school competitions need the split season. Like, I was at a schools competition game today. And I think, honestly, if the intercounty thing was going to September, which Sean Cavanagh was talking about after the honour of the final last year, say the nostalgic element has gone out of it, then the club game, the college game, the schools game will all suffer because of that. So I honestly think pre-season competitions is the big elephant in the room here. That needs to be scrapped. And basically, the league probably could be pushed back to the middle of January for a start. And then it'll give players time to recuperate and give maybe pundits time to, you know, have a bigger feel into the championship. Look, I think it's a bit rushed at the same time. Like, for example, tonight we're talking about league finals this weekend. Next week, next Friday night, there's a late, late show special on the GA Championship. That's only next week. So it's starting very quick. And do you have any kind of solutions to this? Or do you think the league finals should be scrapped yourself? Or what do you think of the whole situation?
I definitely agree with you. I people talking about the league finals being scrapped, I would point to the Sam Mulroy, where he came out and spoke about how important it is for so-called smaller counties to get an opportunity to play in a national final in Croke Park. And it is, like, as you said, Leitrim, it's only their sixth appearance in Croke Park. If you just said that, like, that's remarkable, like, for them that they've only got here six times. So you cannot take that opportunity away from them. And that's why, personally, like, again, this is another point, but I just can't understand why we don't do senior, intermediate and junior championships. It's right there in front of us. Like, have the provincial championships, but senior, intermediate and junior should be how it's split so that every county has a realistic chance of winning the competition that they are in, because you still have teams in the Tarleton Cup like Meath, like Down, like, you know, Westmeath, that are too strong for a Waterford or teams like that, that they know even if we get all our best players, we're still probably not going to be able to compete with them. Anyway, again, that's another point. But the preseason competitions, I absolutely agree with you. I don't see, like, their genuine purpose to the calendar. I get that, you know. But when you, I get that, like, oh, well, the history and everything. Like, but when you look at what we sacrificed from the calendar, like, we've sacrificed the Ireland versus Australia games. They don't happen anymore. We've sacrificed the Railway Cup. That doesn't happen anymore. And yet we're holding on to these competitions that, let's be honest, nobody tries in. Like, nobody puts their best foot forward. Like, I'll give you a hint at this. Dublin haven't lost a Leinster match since 2010, yet they don't win the O'Byrne Cups. Because Dublin don't really care. And Dublin put out whoever can make their debut for Dublin. They basically put out this year, Dublin basically put out their under-20 team from 2 years ago. It was all the lads like Killian McGuinness, Lorcan O'Dell, that had been on that under-20 side. Except they were missing Lee Gannon, who was the best player from that under-20 team. Like, so it's like, teams like this in this competition, they don't put the best foot forward. And you've seen as well, Longford won it. What have Longford done in the league? Failed to get out of Division 4. So it doesn't translate to success in the later season. And I absolutely agree with you. If you were to get rid of the preseason competitions, you would be able to move the league back just 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, you have more room for a bit of flexibility. The thing is, man, like, the way they structure it, it's like they're determined to keep this going. You know that if they did this, they'd put a 2 week break between the round seven and the league finals, that we'd be right back here again talking about the championship kicking off 1 week after. In my head, it's quite simple to fix this. Just remove the preseason competitions. And for anybody who'd kind of point the finger at us and say, oh, we're just a couple of armchair critics here pointing without having solutions, we do have solutions. And, like, I'll tease the video now, if that's okay with you. Like, that we're doing, myself, Matthew, Aaron, like, the man behind Gaelic Anytime and Fan TV, obviously good friend of both of ours, big shout out. We're all, you know, collabing to do a video of ideas that we think could help fix current problems in the GAA. And look, we're fully open to people putting in ideas from the comment section, everything like that, because I know that you agree with this. I don't like feeling like someone who's just pointing out problems without having solutions. We've really thought about what is a calendar that could actually work here. And I think we've a pretty decent one. We have a calendar where the players have a break in April. We have a calendar where the players have a break in August between then and the club championships kicking off, and are allowed to have their own lives. But on top of that, it would be better for media coverage. 100% it'd be better for media coverage. It would be better for promotion. Like, there's a reason that, like, say the UFC, for example, they have UFC countdown shows. Boxing has 40 days out shows and the press conferences and all, because it builds hype, it builds anticipation, and it makes people care. If people have to scramble to catch up with what your organization has been doing, do you know what I mean? Like, oh, it's already started. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't really understand why we're so desperate to get it underway as quick as possible and done as quick as possible. Like, we have a cracking draw between Clare and Limerick in the Munster hurling final a couple of years ago, that if that had gone to a replay the entire week, you would have heard nothing but build up for the Clare Limerick game. No, we have to get it done. Extra time, Clare out, Limerick win. And I think in that situation, the GA missed a massive opportunity for promotion, engagement, and money. Like, more money to help improve the games. And it's something that, like, me and you were speaking about it. It's because they're persisting with competitions like the Fitzgibbon Cup. Sorry, not the Fitzgibbon Cup, sorry. The McKenna Cup, the O'Byrne Cup, the Walsh Cup and things like this. We're persisting with competitions like this, and that backs us into a corner where we have no time. No time at all. That's why Kilmacud and Glenn was played in a blizzard, because they were thinking, we have to get this game done. That would have been called off 5 years ago. 100% that would have been called off 5 years ago. And we've backed ourselves into a corner now where we have no way out. That if a pitch gets waterlogged, it's like we have to play it. We have to move it to somewhere because we don't have the time to push this back 5 days. Because we backed ourselves into a corner by keeping around a couple of competitions at the start of the year that nobody really remembers. Like, often, like, you remember facts like someone that I've literally never met before. Can you tell me who the winners were of the competition? Like, of all the competitions? No, I can't remember who won them. Because it really doesn't matter. Like, in the long run, it really doesn't matter. And I cannot tell you when the last time Dublin won the O'Byrne Cup. I can't tell you the last time he won the Walsh Cup, because it didn't matter to our season. Like, it's not like Dublin were up there in the end. I think we won it in 2020, but it wasn't like Dublin were up there, you know, holding up the Sam Maguire and holding up the O'Byrne Cup beside it. Like, it really doesn't matter. And prioritizing the championship and getting the most out of that is what we should be putting everything on. And yeah, I just personally think, like, it's right there in front of us. Get rid of them, move the leagues back. Then you have a 3 week break between the league final and the championship. Number one, it allows players time to recover, potentially time to go on holiday, get a rest before the championship. Number two, it allows for better promotion of that championship. Because then fans can engage in, you know, chat shows, and we can watch preview shows, and we can do promos and everything like that to go, wow, Derry looked really good in that league, and we get 3 weeks to really build up to the championship. What are they going to look like when Ulster kicks off? But it feels very rushed.
It does, to be honest. And an example, actually, of pre-season competitions, I was at the McGrath Cup final this year between Cork and Kerry. And Cork beat Kerry in that game. And it should have been, like, usually with Cork beat Kerry, it's a euphoric occasion. Beating your rivals, Kerry are one of the best teams in the country. But when Cork actually, when Sean Meehan lifted the cup, the players went straight back into the dressing room to, you know, have a shower and get out of the stadium as quick as possible. They didn't care about celebrating or whatnot. They actually didn't care. And I think, honestly, out of all the preseason competition winners this year, I would be safe to say the only ones that cared were Longford, because they beat Dublin. But what did that do for their season? As you mentioned before, what did they do in Division 4? So, I just think, and a lot of people go on about provincial championships and they lose their glow and stuff like that. I will ask anybody, there is a handful of people in the stream at the moment, let me know your opinions down below. But which would you rather Seamus lift, for example? Would you rather lift the Leinster Championship or the O'Byrne Cup?
Yeah, I mean, that's just an easy question. Leinster Championship, 100,000,000%. Because, like, I'm being honest saying this as well. Like, even in the day-to-day conversations, this is kind of a bit of a moot point, like, as in, but you know, when you're talking about a player and you're listing off their achievements, you know, like 6 Munster titles, 3 All-Ireland titles, does anybody ever list off like O'Byrne Cups? Like, nobody lists them off. No one writes down, oh, and he won 4 O'Byrne Cups, or he won 4 McKenna Cups. It's not something that people really pay that much homage to, because people know counties aren't putting out their best 15s in this competition. So you can't really apply that to the championship. The league, you can apply to the championship slightly, because you know that everybody is putting out a much stronger 15. Like, it's no coincidence. The 3 strongest teams in the country right now are Dublin, Kerry and Derry. And it's no coincidence that the top 3 teams in Division 1 are Derry first, Dublin second, Kerry third. It's no coincidence that those are the 3 at the top, because they are the 3 best teams. They are literally right there. And that's like, you know, the English FA moving the FA Cup fixtures back to make space for the pre-season tournament. Like, it's like we're prioritizing something that the players don't really care about. And if we were to move it away, like, that's what I'm saying, is because if you look at what a grip Kerry have had over Munster, if you look at what a grip Dublin have had over Leinster, and you say that neither of them won the preseason competitions, like, are you going to tell me that they really went all out to try and win it? Of course they didn't. Like, no, they didn't. So if they didn't go all out to win it, then it doesn't scream of a competition that really, really matters to the players, which then asks the question, why are we making so much time for it? Because we're putting so much pressure on the league fixtures then, which then knocks into the championship fixtures. If we were to move the preseason competitions away, then we'd be able to move the league competitions back. We'd have so much more space. And then we would be able to have a break of 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, before the championship kicks off, which would be absolutely, you know, priceless for these players who are so overworked at this stage by such a tight calendar.
Yeah, exactly. So, and just a final question before we get into the games as well, about maybe some teams this weekend in particular that are in action next weekend. I think the teams that are involved next weekend after the league finals are Westmeath, Leitrim, Laois, and I don't think any teams in Division 2 or Division 1 or down themselves are involved in anything. But, like, it would have been a bigger argument, say, if Cavan beat Armagh in that Division 2 kind of relegation play or promotion playoff and got into the Division 2 final, and then they'd have to go out the next week then and play Monaghan in a crucial Ulster Championship game. Mm-hmm. If that happened, there would have been a lot more discussion on this. So, yeah, it's a big discussion, especially for the likes of Laois, Leitrim and Westmeath.
It certainly is, because, it's like Leitrim, you know, they're getting such a historic occasion, getting to play in Croke Park. It's a mammoth achievement from them, for such a small county to be getting here to a national final. It's crucial for the game's development in Leitrim. But again, it's hurried along. And this is the other thing as well, is that this is now becoming a yearly issue. Like, do you remember last year, Mayo played Galway in the league final? And I remember, like, people talking before that final. I remember people talking before that final being like, neither of them should go for this. Do you remember that talk?
Yeah.
I remember the chat about, like, who really wants to win this game. I was like, it's a Division 1 final. And because we've allowed the fixtures to get blocked up on each other, we now have 2 teams going into the Division 1 final, the league final. And the talk is, neither of them should go for this. How have you allowed that to become the showpiece talk of the league? And because you keep the preseason competitions there, they take up valuable space that the league should move back into, in my opinion. But I respect other people's opinions, and genuinely, like, same as yourself, if somebody points out, no, this is why the preseason competitions are important, this is why they need to stay, and you can make space elsewhere, if you can enlighten me, I'll change my mind. But right now, I see players that are overworked, getting injured a lot, and what's going to end up happening is we're going to need to change it one way or another. And in my head, the easiest thing to make way is the preseason competitions.
Yeah, very well said. We've gone just over 20 minutes now, so we will discuss the games. There's not much games to discuss this weekend, but they are big games, of course. So what we're going to do for these Allianz League finals, we're going to go for Division 1 to Division 4 rather than chronological order, which we did last year. So it is the Allianz Football League finals, as I mentioned there. And the first one we're going to discuss is Seamus's own county in action against Derry in the Division 1 final on Sunday at 4 p.m. on TG Car. And considering the last game that these two sides played against each other in Celtic Park, Dublin kind of won at a canter by 5 points, 116 to 111. And it was kind of comprehensive. But the reason it was comprehensive is because Derry dropped the likes of Conor Glass for the team, and Derry played kind of a second team. And Mickey Hart kind of surprisingly did so. You'd imagine that Mickey Hart has to play a first team here to show that we're here, we're going to challenge Dublin. But a lot of commentary about this saying that, one, there could be a bit of shadow boxing in this, and two, it could be an absolutely brilliant encounter between the teams, and three as well, that, like, if Derry go on and win this game, would you consider them as All-Ireland contenders? I'll actually ask you that question first, because a lot of people have asked me this leading up to this game in particular. If Derry go on and win this game on Sunday, would you consider them All-Ireland contenders over Dublin?
Over Dublin or just All-Ireland contenders in general?
Over Dublin.
Probably not over Dublin, but I already consider them All-Ireland contenders. On the first question, I already consider them All-Ireland contenders. I think that the key thing that definitely made me sit up and take notice was how well they played against Kerry in last year's All-Ireland semi-final, and that it wasn't to sit back and try and hold Kerry for as long as we can. No, they really went for it. They took the handbrake off. They were brave. They went at Kerry and they went toe-to-toe with them. And if Garrett McInnes's shot had gone into the back of the net past Shane Ryan, that time when McInnes got injured and had to go off, if McInnes's shot hit the back of the net, Derry were going through to the All-Ireland final. And so they were that close, and they are that close. And I think that they are there. I think I would be surprised this year if the All-Ireland winners does not come from the Dublin-Kerry-Derry triangle. I think it's going to come from one of them that wins it. There's the outside shots teams that, if they can get their act together, like, you know, for example, a Galway or something, I think they have the players, but I don't see them getting their act together in time to be contenders this year. But I think it's going to come from one of them three. Derry, like, for example, the two times previous that they got to Croke Park against Dublin in the Division 2 final, and they got to the All-Ireland semi-final against Galway, and they got beaten handy both times. So I wasn't convinced before the Kerry game. I thought, like, they haven't proven that they can compete with a top team in Croke Park yet. And they did that against Kerry. They proved it. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Mickey Hart version of this looks like. Bear in mind, Mickey Hart hasn't beaten Dublin since 2008. That's the last time he beat them. The 2008 All-Ireland quarterfinal. I know Dublin beat Tyrone in 2010, 2011. I know we beat them in 2017 and in the 2018 All-Ireland final. And all of that was Mickey Hart. So he doesn't have a great record against Dublin in the last 10 years. So it will be very interesting to see how he matches up with Desi Farrell this time around. With what is a fantastic crop of Derry players, no doubt about it. I never bought the, you know, Conor Glass and Garrett McInnes were out, therefore Derry would have won if they were there. I think it's two can play at that game. I mean, yeah, Glass and McInnes were out, but for Dublin, Cluxton was out, Fitzsimons was out, James McCarthy was out, Paul Mannion was out, Colin Baskell was out, Jack McCaffrey was out. Like, if we pour all them lads back in, Dublin get a lot better as well. So I don't think it's as cut and dry to say that. But it's going to be a cracking match between these two teams. They're two superbly coached, superbly drilled teams that look at the pinnacle of their powers right now. Derry look as good as I have ever seen a Derry team look. And Dublin, I'm as confident in this Dublin team as I was in 2020. I've not seen us play like this. Like, the Tyrone game genuinely gave me flashbacks to the 2019 game against Mayo in the All-Ireland semi-final. The way, like, and same with the Kerry game this year. It was just like scintillating attacking football. That was just like, yes, finally we're taking the muzzle off Conor Callaghan. Finally we're letting him do his stuff. And we're attacking teams. We're being aggressive. We're being ruthless. This game is going to be so, so interesting, actually. Like, it's when you think about Derry, they still have to prove that. They haven't beaten a top team in Croke Park. Yes, they came close against Kerry last year in the Ireland semi-final, but they've yet to break that glass ceiling. And this is actually a really good opportunity to do that. I do think Mickey Hart will want to do that more than I think Dublin will want to win the league, because when you look at the drama that got stirred up by Mickey Hart actually joining Derry, one thing that vindicates that and shuts the doubters up real quick is silverware. And if he scoops up a Division One league title, that's a hell of a way to kick off your tenure.
It definitely is. And Killian, he had a comment in here. Think Dublin are on fire at the moment, but a good opportunity for Derry to set a mark. And that's exactly it. Like, Derry, that's a big game for them to try and sit down a marker, in fairness. And what we're going to do at this stage of the podcast is look at scores and stats before the final for each team. So we're going to start off with Derry because they finished first in Division 1. So coming up on the screen, these are posts that we did on Instagram, shameless plug there. But check them out if you haven't already. I did it for all the four league finals this weekend. But we'll start off with the Division 1 one. And starting off with Derry scores here, Shane McGuigan is well clear. 2 goals and 40 points, which is an absolutely ridiculous tally. Then you have a joint second, you have Conor Glass, Paul Cassidy, and Conor McCluskey. 3 goals, that equates to 9 points. He's been an absolute fire cornerback. You've Eaton Doherty there as well, Lachlan Murray, Niall Toner. You've other players joining in the free as well. That's over 20 different scores, so that's a brilliant sign for Derry to have. You look at their journey to the final here as well. They won every game except, coincidentally, the Dublin game in Celtic Park. They beat Kerry by a point on the first day out. They beat Tyrone by a canter as well. Monaghan, they absolutely destroyed, 317 to 13 points. They destroyed Galway to an extent too, beating them by 310 to 111. And obviously losing to Dublin then, winning against Mayo and then destroying Roscommon in the last game. So they've averaged a score of 214 per game and conceded an average of 111 per game. So they've won by an average of 6 points. So very good from Derry there. But if you think Derry's stats are absolutely incredible, Dublin's isn't too shabby either. Look at these scores. I think that equates to 24 different scores, which is absolutely ridiculous in its own right. Conor Callaghan, 3 goals and 29 points atop the tree there. Cormac Costello, 2 goals and 8 points. And considering Costello actually went off injured against Roscommon, I believe he hasn't come back since. That's an incredible tally to have for him. Ross McGarry coming in for his first real full season in a Dublin shirt, in the starting team at least, scored a total of 13 points. Kieran Kilkenny has scored a total of 11 points. Colin Baskill, 2-5, with 2-3 of that coming against Tyrone. And you've other scorers in the equation there. Sean McMahon down the bottom even as a defender. Luke Brannock, another new player there. Keane Murphy scoring 1-2. Great to see him on the list. Keelan McGuinness has done well as well for Dublin. And then you look, when you look at their journey to the final, they lost their first 2 games to Monaghan by a scoreline of 3-9 to 114, and then to Mayo by 112 to 14 points. But they've won every game since, beating Roscommon 119 to 112, hammering Kerry in Croke Park 318 to 114. That was a memorable game, even for a league encounter. Obviously, the aforementioned game against Derry, they beat Galway 22 points to 14, and then absolutely annihilated Tyrone on match day 7, 518 to 12 points. They've averaged a score of 216 per game, an average of concession rate of 112 per game. So that's an average winning margin of 7 points, and Derry's is 6. So that tells you the teams are very, very close to call. And it's going to be an interesting tie given those stats.
Yeah, no, brilliant stats as well. Like, a big thank you to you. Like, you helped me out in my weekend preview as well with Jason. Yeah, it's just genuinely incredible. Like, the run that both of them have been on. And that's why it's hard to pick at both of them, because they have both been pretty flawless. But when you're playing at this level, any like little mistake can be the thing that is your undoing at this level. Any mistake can cost you. You do look at the game in Celtic Park and you do think, look, Dublin played better. Dublin won that game. They were the better team on the day. And Dublin's turnaround from round 3 onwards has been something to behold. It genuinely is. Like, I mean it. I haven't seen us play like that in such a long time. Like genuinely since, I'd say pre-2020. I'd say 2019 was the last time I saw Dublin play like that. Like, I think I said it with Jason yesterday. I said it was, I personally am delighted that Mayo beat us in the 2021 All-Ireland semi-final. Like, I know that sounds like a bizarre thing to say, but it was like we fell in love with this idea of controlling the game. Hand pass, hand pass, hand pass, hand pass, take a shot from a percentage position over the bar. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that won us a lot of games, but we didn't play entertaining football at all. And like, you look at the Dublin fans leaving Croke Park there in the Kerry game, 318 to 114. Yes, they were delighted that Dublin won. Yes, they were delighted that we'd beaten our biggest rivals in Kerry. And yes, they were delighted that we'd done it relatively comfortably. But the main thing that they were delighted by, you ask any Dublin fan, the main thing that they were delighted by is, boy, that was entertaining. That was beautiful football to watch. The attacking moves that we were creating, the finishing, the ruthlessness, and just the bravery. We were going for it. Like, we were stepping to them. And like, this is what people want to pay in to watch. And it's like what it's one of the things that I would encourage, like Jarlett Burns, anybody who might be watching this that has a position where they can impact the rules in somewhat. Try and steer the game towards getting more games where teams play like that, where teams play on the front foot and they play entertaining football, and that is rewarded rather than having teams incentivized to play defensive systems. I know that that's a separate point, but the way that the game is right now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. If I was sent in to be a manager of a smaller county and we're playing against, say, if I was put in as a Division 4 manager, and we're playing against a Division 2 team, the first thing I do is park that bus, make us as difficult to play against as possible to try and grind out a victory. I wouldn't go toe-to-toe with them. I'm not mad. But it's what I'm saying is, as a casual fan, you're not going to pay in to watch 30 lads hand-passing the ball around the pitch, but you are going to pay in to watch players like Dermot Connolly, Kieran MacDonald, like that can do amazing things with the football. And the GAA should prioritise it. And Dublin's football so far this year, the main thing I've been delighted with watching is we're playing really entertaining football. Like, we're going for it a lot more. And long may it continue. Derry as well have been playing some great stuff. Like, you watch the compilation of Shane McGuigan's points against Dublin. It's just the most outrageous shooting. Like you'll see anywhere across any match in the country. He literally was absolutely booting them over from 45 yards out, off the left boot, then off the right boot. He's just a ridiculously good Gaelic footballer. And you were thinking when Mickey went in, would they go a little bit more defensive? No, they've continued to play on the front foot, and some of the scores that they've been taking and their bravery in attacking, like players like Conor McCluskey absolutely bombing up from defence. That's what I'm saying. This has the makings of being an absolute cracking contest, because I do think both teams will want to win this. I do think both teams want to win. I don't think Dublin will necessarily be worried about the Leinster Championship. I think that they kind of feel like they will be able to overcome the first hurdle anyway. Whereas Derry, I think Mickey won't be able to turn down the opportunity of winning a Division 1 title against Dublin. And as that comment said earlier, making a hell of a statement in the process.
Exactly. So, yeah. So who are you calling? Who do you think will win the final? Do you think it'll be Derry or Dublin? Do you think Derry will get the revenge? Or do you think Dublin will win their, I think it's their third game in a row against Derry since the loss in Celtic Park at Division 2 last year?
I honestly think Dublin will win. And it's not a biased thing. Of course, if I'm from Dublin and I say I'm not going to win, people, I try to look at it as Team A, Team B. And I look at it and I say Team A is the current All-Ireland champions. Team A plays in Croke Park all the time. Team A is very used to the dimensions of Croke Park. They're very used to big games in Croke Park with big attendances. Team B has never beaten a top team in Croke Park. That's just a fact. It really hits hard, but they have not beaten a Division 1 team in Croke Park yet. So, like, that's what I'm saying. And then on top of that, like, they did lose to Dublin, and it was at home. And we've mentioned this. Glass was out. McInnes was out. Yeah, okay. look at the amount of Dublin players that were out as well. Neither side were at full strength. So I'm not saying it's going to be easy at all. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's going to be extremely difficult. But I probably would lean to Dublin by a point. I like genuinely a point. I think Derry will go for it. I think Glass will be back in. I think McInnes will be back in if he's fit. And I think they will go for it. Dublin, I would imagine Dublin will go for it too. Hopefully. And I think it would be a scintillating game. I just think the way that Dublin's forwards are moving in Croke Park, it's going to be so difficult to keep a hold on them as well. Like you look at, if you look at Derry, say, for example, Dublin are thinking we need to stop Shane McGuigan. And what's different is with Derry, say, McGuigan is always leading the charge. And Jason, who was on my pod there yesterday during the weekend preview, he said an absolutely fantastic quote. He said something along the lines of like, Derry, it's like you have to stop the ringleader. But Dublin, it's like you have to stop the whole circus. Like, Shane McGuigan is the ringleader of the Derry attack. You stop him, you stop the majority of the scoring. Dublin, one week it's Conn O'Callaghan. Next week it's Colin Baskell. Next week it's Cormac Costello. Next week it's Paul Mannion. And it seems to be somewhat unpredictable as to who's going to fire each week. No doubt Conn is the guy to watch, but we've seen it before where Conn's been the guy to watch and then Costello hits a hat-trick or Colin Baskell hits 2-3 like he did against Mayo in the quarterfinal last year. We've seen it before that these players just spring up. Like John Small hit a goal against Derry last year. Dublin have a habit of players popping up out of nowhere and becoming the main man on the day. And I just feel like because there's so much attack and threat there, because Dublin right now are ruthless in Croke Park, like we hit 2-9 from 12 shots against Kerry in the first half. And we hit 5-18 against Tyrone. Like, we are clicking in Croke Park now. Derry haven't played in Croke Park since the All-Ireland semi-final. I just think Dublin will be more used to the pace of it. And I think Dublin will probably take it by a point.
You know what? Before you even spoke, I was thinking, who will I go for here, Derry or Dublin? I was edging towards Derry because of the revenge in Celtic Park. But the points you made are absolutely valid. It is a fact. Derry are absolutely brilliant. The rise that they've made for Division 4 up all the way to Division 1 has been absolutely superb. Like, I remember 2020.
Something to behold.
Yeah. It is. Like, I remember actually in 2020, I actually went to a game in Division 3. It was between Cork and Derry. Cork won that game by 2 points. Cork had, I think, 5 or 6 out of the 15 players still on that panel. Do you want to know how many Derry players from the starting 15 are still on the panel today?
I'm going to say 11. 15. 11, wow. That is mental.
It's absolutely mad. Then the likes of Conor Doherty came on in the second half as well in that particular game at Parky Cave. Mm-hmm. That was in Division 3 and they lost to Cork. Look at them now. They're absolutely outstanding in fairness. They've done well in nearly every game. But you make a valid point. They haven't beaten a Division 1 team in Croke Park. And that is something that probably needs to be taken into account when predicting this game. And it will happen eventually. I have no doubt it probably will happen this season. But will it happen on Sunday? I'm not sure. I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go for a Dublin win just because of the points you made are valid. And then Jason, to be fair to him as well, about the McGuigan points. Absolutely superb as well. And Jason, follow his account, Love for Bread GA podcast, if you haven't already. The point he made about Shane McGuigan's absolutely bang on. 240 when you look at scores. The next best scorer is Conor Glass. Conor McCluskey's the joint second top scorer, and he's a cornerback. He's done well in the league. Conor Glass has
1-6.
Like that. Conor Glass has 1-6, yeah.
Paul Gaffney's the second top scorer.
Yeah.
Second top scorer, yeah. That's a huge drop off. I'd love to know this. When is the last game that McGuigan played in for Derry that he wasn't the top scorer for them? Like,
I don't think it was this season anyway.
Yeah.
It was a long time ago anyway. But yeah, I'm going to predict the Dublin win. Interesting game. It should be a very interesting game, no doubt about it. But we'll see what happens on Sunday. We'll move on to this second game on Sunday. The curtain raiser on Sunday, actually. And it is between Donegal and Armagh. in Division 2 at Croke Park at 1:45 at TG Carr. And we mentioned that Derry and Dublin, there's kind of a bit between Derry's teeth after losing in Celtic Park. Well, there's no bits between the season between these sides, because they drew in the Athletic Grounds earlier on the season, 1-9 to 12 points, Armagh scoring a total of 1-9. And like, Armagh's defence and attack has been brilliant in this league campaign. Donegal have been very good in this league campaign as well. But I think the main story, we'll talk about stats and stuff in a sec, but I think the main story coming out of this, previewing this game, Patrick McBrearty is out for Donegal. And spoiler alert, he scored 126 for Donegal in Division 2. Huge loss for Donegal going to Sunday. So would that put Armagh's favourites?
It definitely is a massive blow. It's something that you cannot ignore. Like, McBrearty he's the only link, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the only link to that 2012 All-Ireland win. So with McGuinness coming in, there's no doubt McBrearty would have been his deputy there. Like, you're the man that I'm going to turn to for a lot of captaincy, a lot of leadership amongst this team, because you're the guy who was there with me in the trenches in 2012 when we won the All-Ireland. So if the players want to look to someone who was there and won an All-Ireland medal, McBrearty's the guy. And to have him injured going into this game is massive, because anyone who thinks that there's going to be any sort of shadow boxing in this one, there is never a shadow boxing between Donegal and Armagh. Like, if they get an opportunity to beat each other in Croke Park, oh, they're going to go for it. And McGeaney as well, like, make no mistake about it, he was hanging on to his job by a thread last year. Like, Armagh barely stuck with him. And remember, people, after he was announced that he was staying on, some people in Armagh were very negative about him staying on. And so he needs results. And to go straight back up to Division 1, unbeaten, is a really, really good start. And if you can cap that off with a league title, you know, it's an ideal start. But the reality is, Donegal, just there's something different about what McGuinness has brought to them. It's like, because I remember watching the Cork game, I think I said it to you at the time, because it was fresh after the Cork game. I just remember being blown away by just how confident Donegal looked all of a sudden. It was like overnight, these lads, they hit 3 points in particular. McBrearty hit one, Ryan McHugh hit one, and Aaron Doherty hit outside of the left boot shot against Cork. And it was the scores that you look at that and think, my God, that's a confident bloke to go for a shot like that. That's spot on as well. Like, if there's ever an Ulster clash, they ain't taking it as a friendly. They ain't taking the foot off the gas. There's serious rivalry between these two counties. You watched Donegal Armagh a couple of years ago when they had the schmozzle, shall we say, which then they all got let off with for the replay of the two sides. It's a massive clash, no matter when they play. Jim McGuinness will want to win. Kieran McGeaney will want to win. I think personally, this one and the Down and Westmead one, I found the hardest to call.
Yeah, and we'll get on to Down and Westmead in a sec, because these are two incredible games, there's no doubt about that. But we'll look at the scores for each side now, and we'll start off with Donegal having them finishing first in Division 1. I'm trying to get it up here. Donegal scores, I think that's their journey to the final. I'm trying to get there. Actual scores, I don't think I have it for right now, so I'll just put up their journey to the final here, and I'll get their scores in a sec. But obviously Donegal are unbeaten in the Division 2. Brilliant occasion for them, obviously 120 to a 6-point win over Cork to start things off. That was a brilliant win there. They beat Cavan by a point, then beat Fermanagh by 216 to 8 points. Obviously that draw against Armagh that I mentioned previously, the win against Lowe by 5 points at Ballybofey, then beating Kildare 17 points to 1-8, and then the last game against Meath beating them by 8 points, 118 to 110. They've averaged a score of 115 per game, and they've averaged a concession rate of 19 per game. So a 6-point winning margin on average there for Donegal. And we look at their scores here, and Patrick McBrearty has 1-26, but he'll be out for this game on Sunday, which is a massive blow to Donegal. But Oisin Gallan is a guy that will take up the mantle, no doubt about that. He scored a total of 22 points in this league campaign. Darrow Boyle has scored 2 goals and 7 points, which is pleasantly a surprise. I didn't see him as much of a scorer, but there you go, 2-7 in Division 2. You've had Patrick Morgan there with 8 points, Kieran Thompson also with 8 points, Jack McKelvey on 1-4 as well, and you have a plethora of other players there on the Donegal score sheet there, like Gavin Mulroney, the goalkeeper, Quinn O'McGonagall, Luke McLean, Ryan McHugh, Oren Doherty, who really impressed in the game against Cork on the first day out. Shane O'Donnell there, Niall O'Donnell. There's a lot of good players for Donegal, and that is well documented as well. We'll move on to Armagh's journey to the final. And if it comes up for me here, trying to get the Armagh scores. And there it is. So Armagh, and that should be Armagh journey to the final. Sorry about that, not scores. Error on my part there. But they beat Lowe by a point on the first day out, 12 points to 11. They then trashed Meath by 12 points in the second day out, 2-16 to 10 points. Trunks Kildare by 2-16 to 8 points, around the same scoreline there. Obviously, the draw against Donegal. Then a win over Fermanagh by 4 points. Then Trunks and Cavan. And then against Cork, which is kind of an outlier of a game, considering there was nothing on the line for Armagh. They still put out a strong team in Parky Cave last week. Reen O'Neill, Rory Grubin, Conor Torbett were all still on the pitch for Armagh. So quite disappointing that they went out with just a draw in Parky Cave. They scored an average of 116 per game, and they've conceded an average of 12 points per game. So that's a winning margin on average of 7 points. So again, it's in and around the same margin as Donegal. But what I've noticed there is the goal scoring in particular. We'll get on to the comparisons in a second. Before that, we'll get on to Armagh's scores. Conor Turbitt with 2 goals and 27 points. Rory Grubin, 2 goals and 18. Oisin Connolly, who's been outstanding in this division, into campaign, 16 points, 6 points. Peter McGrain, 2 goals from cornerback. Brent him scoring from him, as well as Andrew Merlin, Stephen Campbell, of course. Keane McConville, 1-2 as well. And probably the most pleasing aspect from an Armagh point of view is Reen O'Neill has only scored 2 points in this Division 2 campaign. And there's more players stepping up, which is a brilliant sight to see for Kieran McGeaney's side. But even looking at him, I want to bring it back to their journeys to the final there. Armagh, first of all, they've scored 9 goals in this league campaign. Donegal have scored 5. So that was the point I'm going to make next. Do you think that will be a factor going into this game and predicting this game, the goal scoring of these two sides? Would you be worried about Donegal's goal scoring?
Slightly. But then again, probably not. I think Jim definitely has his system down on how he wants them to play. And like the scores that you brought up there, the main thing is obviously is that McBrearty's the big loss. Like, he's going to be the one. But Oisin Gallen will definitely step up and, you know, take more of the mantle of responsibility on his shoulders there. Whereas you look at Armagh, you're right, Reen O'Neill, like, he hasn't necessarily been relied upon at all. Like, I think he only came in round 4, was it round 5? Reen O'Neill made his first appearance. So, like, Armagh started all of that without him. Conor Turbitt stepped up. Oisin Connolly stepped up. Like, Keane McConville scored a goal as well against Meath. Like, they were introducing a lot of players, and Turbitt was kind of gradually becoming more and more important to the Armagh team. We've always known he has the ability. Donegal, on the other side, like, I was very interested to watch what they were going to come back with, because they definitely, you know, that's a really good point as well. Armagh do play a bit of a more expansive game than we've seen Donegal play so far. Donegal have either pressed up like crazy, or they have shown signs of being able to drop back into the defensive shell. I think it's really, really interesting. I find this one really, really hard to call, because, like, yesterday on my show, I did go for Donegal. But it's really difficult to call, man. And it's like, that is a very good point, because that is a very good point. I don't think he will. If I'm being 100%, I don't think he will. I think he'll want to keep something in the back pocket for Derry. God, that's a difficult one. I did not think, I have to admit, I did not think about that. I should have definitely thought about that, but yeah, thank you to Killian. Like, that's definitely something that plays into it. If like, because Mickey Hart is watching this, and we know that there's nobody that Jim McGuinness likes to beat more than Mickey Hart. he pretty much admitted to that in his book. God, it's a difficult one to call, this one. Because it's genuinely I would not be the slightest bit surprised if either of them won. It's that hard to call. I'm tempted to double back on my prediction, to be honest. I really am. McBrearty being gone, and now that point of how I think it, I'd love to know how much Jim wants this, because I know McGeaney wants this. Because he needs silverware way more than Jim does. Way more than Jim does. He needs silverware, McGeaney. So he'll put his best foot forward in this one. But our man never made things easy for themselves either.
Yeah. Yeah, the last two appearances in Croke Park in the quarterfinals, yeah. Remember those?
The game. And it was realized today. Both penalty shootouts were into the same goal. And get this, when they won the All-Ireland in 2002, Oisin McConville missed a penalty, and the penalty he took was down into the Davin Stan goal. Is there something cursed about that end for Armagh with penalties?
There has to be. And as well as that, I remember as well, in the All-Ireland quarterfinal in 2010, I know this isn't Armagh particularly, but it is Kieran McGeaney. Kildare were playing against Meath, and there was a controversial penalty goal by Keane Ward that just scraped over the line. Most people thought it wouldn't go over the line, but Meath scored that goal as well. So that's another
kind of angle. And on top of this, actually, down Kildare 2010, Benny killed their square ball into that goal. And Rob Kelly hit the crossbar last minute into that goal, which sent down through. So Kieran McGeaney has, I'd say he wants to burn those goalposts. They've been so horrific to him, look-wise. If those goalposts, if he had had everything turn around, that he had misfortune into the Davin Stan goal, he would have brought Kildare to an All-Ireland final in 2010. Oh, and here's another one. Remember Dublin and Kildare in 2011, and Dublin got that, you know, ridiculous last minute free.
Yeah.
That was into goal. Same one again. So we would have taken Kildare to an All-Ireland final. He would have taken Kildare to a Leinster final in 2011, which, let's be honest, they probably would have won. So he would have won a Leinster title. Then he would have taken Armagh to Ulster Championship and the All-Ireland semi-finals twice if they had a won penalty. And I know I'm throwing the Ulster final in there, but that's a penalty shootout. It's unbelievable how close he's been to further success.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised now, before we get to our prediction, I wouldn't be surprised if something happens in that goal now, just say, to play at Devil's Advocate on Sunday. I wouldn't be surprised if Kieran McGeaney brings a box of matches with him on Sunday.
Just burns the goalpost at the Davin Stan.
Anyway,
I wonder if Kieran will ask, what are you doing with them posts? But yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It genuinely is that when you realise how many big moments have gone wrong for Kildare and then subsequently Armagh down into that goal. The only one that is really big that went against Kildare that was into the other end that I can think of was Kevin Cassidy's point. That's the only big one I can think of. Maybe Monaghan's equaliser with McManus, but we all know the penalties was the real heartbreaker there.
Yeah, exactly. But enough about stereotypes and fates and everything like that. Prediction for this game, I think Armagh will go on and win it because of the factors that you mentioned there, McBrearty out, the factor that Kitty mentioned, which is an excellent point, by the way, about Jim McGuinness not giving too much away to Mickey Hart. I think it all leads towards an Armagh win.
Yeah, do you know what? I agree with you. I helped you make your decision about Dublin Derry. You know, you've helped me change my decision about Armagh Donegal. I did go Donegal. I'm going to go Armagh now. Armagh by one, genuinely. I think it's going to be so tight.
Exactly. But Armagh, again, as you mentioned before as well, I have to credit you on this. Armagh do not make it easy for themselves, and I'm sure they won't on Sunday either, but we'll have to see. It's much like Mayo, it's organised chaos, and we absolutely love it. But we'll move on to the next game now in Division 3, and this is on 7:15 on Saturday, Down against Westmead on TG Carr on Saturday evening as well. And I will say Armagh, Donegal and Derry in Dublin have a lot of narratives around it, and it is the glitz and the glamour of the weekend in many ways. But I said this to Aaron earlier on in the week on his podcast. I do think this final out of all the four is the most important final, because whoever wins this is as it stands in the Samba World Cup. Obviously, everything could change in the next few weeks with the provincial championships, but as it stands, whoever wins this game would be in the designated 15th place spot for the Samba World Cup.
Yeah, it's crazy that they're like it's still not 100% nailed down. So like, I think one of the down selectors was talking about this, saying like that neither team knows how much is actually on the line going into this weekend. And you've got Westmeath, for example, who kick off their Leinster Championship campaign next, like literally the next week against Wicklow, which again is ridiculous. Like we spoke about that at the start of the show. Going into this game, this one's really interesting. One thing I likened it to is I said to you, I love a good UFC metaphor, but it's like Downer, like a really polished, flashy striker with a load of knockouts. And Westmeath are like a very solid wrestler. Like, do you know what I mean? That like something that they're just a solid team and they can mix it with the best, but they're not going to get the flashy. Knockout. They're not going to get the flashy 20-point victory that Down are going to get. When Down sense that they have a team's number, they absolutely go in for the kill. Like if you bring up the scores, which like I'm sure you have them there, like Down's average winning margin is comfortably higher than Westmead's, and the scores in which they've been beating teams by have been comfortably higher than Westmead. Westmead tend to, no matter what team Westmead are playing, they tend to always win by 3 points. Like, no matter if they win, they tend to always win by 3 points, 4 points. They kind of just do the job. And, like, as in, like, that's what I mean is that Westmeath are like a wrestler that wins by decision every time. Down are like a striker that knocks people out that aren't on the same level as them, but then might be susceptible to a solid, solid team like Westmeath who might just be able to break them down.
Yeah, exactly. And Evan May has comments in here. Westmeath have to go straight at the championship versus Wicklow next weekend and down don't, which is a point we were mentioning earlier on the chat here in the podcast. So yeah, it is a very interesting point. All right, but we'll move on to the
There's something
scores and
unfair
stats
about
for
that as
each
well,
team.
man.
Yeah.
Like, there is something unfair
True.
about that.
Yeah. And this is the point we go back to earlier on the podcast. Obviously, we can't go on in detail about it as much as we like to because there's games to discuss, but it is a valid point. It definitely is. And the calendar needs to be fixed. There's no doubt about that. But we will get into Down and Westmeath, the journey to the final and their score. So we'll start off with Down, the Mourne men. They beat Wicklow by 18 points to 13, then beat Limerick by on a sizable margin there, 316 to 9 points, beat Antrim by 115 to 16. Offaly 4-12 to 2-14, then beat Sligo 2-17 to 1-8. And considering we'll see Westmeath's journey to win a bit, Sligo beat Westmeath. So that was a brilliant win for Down there. Obviously, the draw against Westmeath and Mullingar 110 to 13 points. And then they pretty handsomely beat Clare 3-15 to 1-10. Their average winning margin, as you said, Seamus, previously, it's 8 points, which is an absolutely astonishing amount for Down. And when you look at their scores as well, you have Pat Avern at the top there with 38 points, Orrin Murdoch with 4 goals and 7 points, 3 of those from spot kicks. Liam Kerr with 2 goals and 11 points. Caelan Doherty's done well as well. So is Daniel Guinness from defence. Danny McGill and James Guinness. Oisín Savage from the under-20s last season is doing absolutely brilliant as well. John O'Hare, the goalkeeper. So there's a lot of players. Piers Lafferty, the captain's even on the score sheet as well from centre back. So yeah, Down have had a lot of scores, and there's no doubt. They look to be a coming team. There's no doubt about that. We'll move on to Westmeath's journey to the final. They beat Offaly by 111 to 10 points. Then beat Clare by a controversial goal. And as Jason pointed out in your podcast, I don't think it was a square ball. It was a push in the back. So if whatever the fault, it was a controversial decision. They did beat Clare by a point, 111 to 13 points. They beat Wicklow by 6 points after that. Then beat Limerick by 3, beat Antrim by 4, then drew against Down, the aforementioned game there, and then lost to Sligo last weekend. So that's 2 weekends in a row that Westmeath haven't won a game. And obviously their winning margin is 2 points. So as you mentioned there, Down's winning margin is 8, Westmeath is 2. Like, that is an absolutely astonishing amount in many ways. And even when you look at Westmeath's scores, like their highest score is Sinan Baker with 111. That's 14 points. And it isn't as high as the likes of Shane McGuigan, for example, Conor Turbitt, Pat Haverne, who we've mentioned before here as well, Conor Callaghan. Like, that's a low amount for a top scorer. Ron O'Toole with 13 points there as well. And John Hazen, it's worth pointing out, is only 2 points because he hasn't played much of the campaign for Westmeath. But the stats would suggest, Seamus, that Down are going to be favourites for this game. But then again, Westmeath could put it out of the bag. Who knows?
100%. And like, that's what I mean, is when you pull up the scores there, it's obvious that Down are the more flashy team, that are more, you know, accomplished in terms of the scores. But if you look really at who has more experience playing against better opposition, it is Westmeath. Westmeath were in there in the mix with the, you know, the Sam Maguire teams last year, and they more than held their own. You know, they were a John Heslin kick away from going through. And like, this is what people do forget when it's these type of situations. Down have definitely caught the eye with the scores that they've been putting up, and with the likes of scores that Pat Haven is getting versus, as you said, Sennebaker top scoring at Westmeath with only a goal and 11 points, which is modest for a top scorer of a county team going into a league final. They've just been quietly doing their job. And it's one of the things that when you look at Down, they play like the perfect indication of, I think, where Down are at right now is the Tulchin Cup last year, semi-final and final. When they played Laois in the semi-final, they clocked very quickly. Laois couldn't handle them when they ran right at them. And they ran right at them time and time and time again. It was like, do you know what it reminded me of? It's like, do you know when you played, you know, if you played like FIFA or something back in the day, one of the glitchy FIFAs, like one of the old ones. It was like Down found what button was overpowered, and they just kept hitting it over and over and over again, that like to try and just keep getting the goals again and again and again. Because they realised that Laois couldn't handle it. They knew Laois couldn't handle the pace of Liam Kerr, the, you know, the movement of Pat Haver, and they knew, like, we can just absolutely do what we want here. But because it worked against Laois did not mean it would work against Meath, and it didn't work against Meath. And once it didn't work against Meath, it was like they had nothing else to fall back on. They didn't really know what to do when Meath kind of held them. And that's my point, is like those two games pointed to how early on Down are in their development, but also how much potential they have. There's a hell of a lot of potential there and a hell of a lot of quality footballers, but they did need more time. And Meath were just a little bit more polished in terms of competing in big games with prizes on the line. They looked like they knew how to get over the line more in those games than Down did. Because in the last 10, 15 minutes, when it was there to be, you know, who's going to kick on and win this, it was Meath that kicked on. Wasn't Down. So that's definitely going to be in the back of Down's mind going into this game. And it's one of those things where, because Westmeath have the odd slip up in them, and, you know, they lost to Sligo and things like this, which ultimately nearly cost them their place in this game if Clare had a beaten Down. It's a question of, I think, weirdly, I think either Westmeath win or Down win comfortably.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that way, no doubt about it. But I'd probably predict Down to go on and win this game. Look at the stats and everything like that. And considering what's on the line as well, it's a Sam Maguire place. And Down would not want to let that slip by, considering the performances they put in Division 3. Like, if they were to lose this game, maybe their efforts would go to waste just a teensy bit. But what do you think yourself?
Yeah, I probably will go Down as well. And like, to wrap up that point that I made about the Laois and Meath games, I think they're ready to take that next step this year. And beating a side like Westmeath, who are a tricky opposition at the best of times. Like, my, you know, thought process when I look at Westmeath, I just think solid. They're a solid team. They're a good team. If Down can beat them with a national trophy on the line and a place in the Sam Maguire Cup on the line, I think we'll do them a hell of a lot of good in their development. And I don't think they'll pass up that opportunity. I think Down will win.
Yeah, I think Down will go on and win this game as well. It should be a very interesting encounter in Division 3. And we'll finally go on to the Division 4 before we move on to just other games that are happening this weekend. So it's Laois against Leitrim in the Division 4 final at 5 p.m. That should be on TG Carr there as well on Saturday. So a very interesting game, no doubt about it. And I've seen a stat for the Football Pod with Tommy Rooney, James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews, that this is going to be on Saturday Westmeath's 6th appearance only in Croke Park in their entire history.
Leitrim.
In senior team. So Leitrim, yeah. So yeah, it's a big occasion for Leitrim, and it probably just epitomizes the point that league finals are a special occasion for these sorts of companies. Leisure, the obvious favourites, they've been brilliant in Division 4 so far, as we'll put up the stats there in the sec to back up those points. But Leitrim, it's going to be a massive occasion for them. And I'm sure the Leitrim fans will come to Croke Park in their thousands.
100%. I think it's a massive opportunity for Leitrim to play in Croke Park. It's only the sixth time in their history, which is absolutely crazy when you think, 1887 was the first All-Ireland final to ever be played. That the GAA had been using Croke Park, which is, of course, was Jones's Air Sports Ground. They've been using that since the 1890s. And Leitrim have only played there six times, which is absolutely extraordinary when you consider that, the Leinster Championship teams have probably played there six times in the last 10 years. It's crazy to think that, in their history, they've only played there six times. So it's a massive opportunity for them to come here and experience what the ground is all about and get a run out on that pitch and that hallowed turf that any GA player would dream of playing on. And for Leitrim as well, to get to see their team strutting their stuff in Croke Park is a massive, massive special day. And that's to, again, illustrate the point that Sam Mulroy was making about how important the league finals are for these teams. It gives them a day to pen into their calendar because, you'll find that a lot of the teams, complaining about the league finals, it's a lot of the teams that are more focused on winning the All-Ireland Championships. But you have to think about teams, the way that we've structured the competitions now, it is only really the big teams who can win competitions. Like Tailteann Cup even, you still have some heavyweights in there, like teams that could be in the Tailteann Cup this year. You've got really, really strong teams like Kildare. If they turn it around, if Kildare, woke up, on paper they have the best panel in the Tailteann Cup. It's just a question of whether or not they can turn it around. You've got Clare who could be in there as well. These are really strong teams in the Tailteann Cup. So, I know Clare could still turn it around and get into the All-Ireland Championships, and you definitely wouldn't write them off, especially what they did last year. I'm just saying teams that might be in there.
Decided to draw their honor with Tip and Waterford. So imagine they'd get to the Munster final.
I would anticipate that they get there. But right now in this moment, teams that could be there, there's some very, very strong teams there. And that's what I'm saying. For Leitrim, I wouldn't see them being able to beat a team like that. So it's just massively important to them to take full advantage of what they have here. And it's a game that they can win. It is a game that they can win. But like I see in the comment there that Evan put in, that's the main reason why I am tipping Leash to win this one. I think it's the one where he says, that one there. Yeah. That I highlighted it with Jason that I said, personally, I think when you are the underdog, when Leash are the favourites in every game that they played in Division 4, and every division, had that team at the start that were just seemed too good for the division they're in. Derry seemed too good for Division 1. Donegal and Armagh seemed too good for Division 2. Down Westmead seemed like that for Division 3. And then Leash were that team in Division 4 that everybody was talking about, that where they were just, winning every type of game as well. They were battering teams and they were getting a late winner and everything. They were winning in every way, shape and fashion. And then Leitrim caught them in Omora Park when I don't think Leash were, ready for them. And basically what I'm saying is that when you're the underdogs, I think you can upset the favourites once, but I don't think you can upset the favourites twice. And I think if Leash, I think Justin McNulty will be looking at it. Yeah, great job. Fantastic job to go up out of Division 4, top of the table. But if you lose twice to Leitrim, one of them was in Omora Park and then one of them was at Croke Park in the final, I think it does slightly take the gloss off your league campaign. And I think he'll be determined to not let that happen.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll go through Leash's scores and Leitrim's in the sec as well. So their journey to the final, Leash, they beat every team in their wake except for Leitrim, obviously. So Longford, they beat by a total of 2 points there. Wexford, they beat comfortably. Carlow, comfortably. Tipperary by a point. London, comfortably enough as well. And Waterford, they absolutely hammered them there by 25 points. So that was a big beating there. They scored an average of 2.13 per game, 100 points as well in 12 goals, which is absolutely ridiculous, even in Division 4. And then they've conceded an average of 11 points. So that's an average winning margin of 8 points. So similar to Down in many ways, any shape or form there. And then when you look at their scores, Mark Barry, Evan O'Carroll, Killian Roach has done excellent as well. The goalkeeper, Paul Kingston, experienced player there in the ranks. You have Sean Fitzpatrick, Damon Larkin in midfield has done brilliant in this league campaign. Kevin Swain, Noel Dunn. Yeah, they've done brilliant. And Mark Timmins at the bottom there, 37 or 38 years of age, still going at centre-back, which is an amazing feat for him. There's no doubt about it. And he's going to play at Croke Park as well, so brilliant to see. We'll go on to Leitrim's scores here. They beat Waterford in London in the first two games and then beat Wexford by a controversial penalty, let's just say, put up by Adrian Flynn on Twitter during the week, that Ryan O'Rourke's penalty that he scored from probably shouldn't have been a penalty at all, but Leitrim did win the game in the end. They lost Carlo and lost to Longford, and then I think you said in your own podcast, Seamus, that was probably the point from when he would have thought that was it. Leitrim are gone out of this, out of the promotion race. And then all of a sudden they beat Leash in the second last day of the season by a point and then beat Tip by 6 points. And their average winning margin, as you can see on the screen there, is 3 points. So you'd imagine Leash, look at stats there, are probably the favourites in this game. And we mentioned Derry's probably diamond, the Jim McGuigan being the ringleader and stuff like that. You could argue the same for Leitrim here because Dara Rooney and Ryan O'Rourke have done brilliant in this campaign, 40 points and 5.18 respectively. But the next best after that is Barry McNulty with 6 points. So you would imagine if Leash keep those two guys quiet, Rooney and O'Rourke, Leash could go on and win this game. But before we get your view, Seamus, there's another comment coming in here. By Evan again. When Leitrim beaten Leash already had 1 foot in the final as well, so potentially might not have fully gone for it. And that is a good point as well, considering Leash had Waterford in the last game too. So you would imagine, look at the stats and look at the points that Evan made there, you would imagine the points towards Leash win looks pretty valid.
Yeah, like I think this one is probably, with no disrespect to Leitrim whatsoever, I think this is the game where we do have the biggest underdog of the weekend. I think like Leitrim, only their sixth ever appearance in Croke Park. Leitrim are a lot more familiar with the Croke Park dimensions and everything like that. And like, they do have players in the team like Evan O'Carroll and players like that that are familiar with the Croke Park turf, and they do, you know, understand. And this is the thing, like, people don't understand, it probably would take you a few minutes to get used to the pitch size and the dimensions and everything like that. When you're standing on the pitch, it's a massive playing surface and it's deceptively wide. And just for that first 10 minutes, that might give Leash, you know, let them get their feet under the table a bit, go 4 points ahead, and then they can kind of play the game on their terms from there. Like Leitrim, it's a massive, massive task to do it again. Because Leash have been, as I said, that team in Division 4. They've looked too good for it. They've looked like they're on a one-way ticket out of Division 4 since the campaign began. And that's what I'm saying, is if they lose to Leitrim again, it takes the gloss off what has been a brilliant Division 4 campaign. I don't think Justin McNulty is going to want to let that happen. And yeah, so I probably would go for a Leash victory. I'm not saying by a lot, but I'd probably say Leash by 4 points.
Yeah, I'd probably go for a Leash win as well. Like, they look exemplary. I've seen by the stats there. Like, Leitrim have done well, and fair play to them for getting this far. Fair play to them for their sixth appearance in Croke Park. It's a brilliant, brilliant achievement for the whole Leitrim county. But you'd have to imagine that Leash will get over the line eventually in this game and go on and win the Division 4 title. So that's all the Allianz League finals wrapped up. But there are still some more games this weekend in the Camogie and in Hurling as well. There's Allianz League finals in Hurling. So we'll run through them very quickly. So we'll start off with the very Camogie leagues. And just going through 1A, first of all, we have Cork against Galway on Saturday at 2 p.m. A big one there. We've Clare against Tipperary on Saturday at 2 p.m. and also Waterford against Kilkenny on Saturday at 2 p.m. So they're going to the final round of the very Camogie League here. And the situation is Galway are 9 points, Tipperary are 9 points, Cork are 9 points. And basically one of those sides look, or two of those sides look in pole position to get to the final. The situation is Tip only have to get, basically, they have to beat Clare, who have no points on the board so far. And Galway and Cork, Galway only need a draw to get to the league final. So you would imagine Clare are going down. Look at the prospects in this division. But who do you think is going to get to the league final? You'd imagine Tipperary will, but who will join them in that potentially really, really promotion playoff there between Galway and Cork?
Yeah, it's a massive game. Like the Galway and Cork game is going to be obviously the biggest one to watch there. Waterford and Kilkenny, like that's a big one to watch as well. More so for Chapclear, because like Kilkenny have dropped the ball in a couple of games. Tipperary as well against Clare. You'd imagine they'll get the job done in that game. Tipperary have been pretty good. So then you're looking at it's going to be one of Cork and Galway that will drop out. Galway have impressed me so far. Like in the league so far, like they've obviously lost some big players out of the team, like the likes of Sarah Dervin and Niamh Kilkenny hasn't been there, and players that have been crucial to them haven't been there so far this season, but yet they've still got the results and they've shown, you know, why they have been one of the top teams over the last 5-6 years. Cork, you know, coming in as champions, obviously Ger Manley there, new manager in, he's carried the mantle pretty well so far. And I, like, just to throw it back to you, as a Cork man, how big do you think this is to, you know, make it into the league top two? Like, would it be a big deal if they dropped out this weekend?
I don't think it would be a massive deal, no. I still think Cork are favourites enough for the All-Ireland. Like, Galway have looked brilliant at fairness, and they've kind of shut both ourselves up about the leaders coming into the team. I actually see Niamh Kilkenny has been on the bench in the last few games, so that's very good to have that around the dressing room. Mm-hmm. But Sarah Durbin still missing out of the Galway team. But Kilkenny are struggling, which is kind of a surprise, in my opinion. They still have some good players in that team, like Steffi Fitzgerald, Tiffany Fitzgerald. You have Aoife Doyle and Connor Forward there as well. They might not have Miriam Walsh in there at the moment, but there's still some quality players for Kilkenny. So it's kind of strange to see how they're only on 3 points at the moment. I would say, like, if they don't make the league final, Cork, I don't think it'll be a disaster for Ger Manley. I think they'll go back to the Munster Championship, go back to the drawing board, get potentially to another All-Ireland final. And it looks like still, what's the difference between Cork compared to Galway and Kilkenny? Cork have kept a lot of players. In fairness, mm-hmm. like the team that they have now and the squad they have now is nearly the same as last season. Like Hannah Looney is still there, Aisling Thompson is still there, Laura Hayes is still there, Laura Tracy, Amy O'Connor, Orla Callahan is now apparently going to stick to Camogie rather than Gaelic football, which is a huge boost to the Camogie team, not so much to the LGFA team, but a huge boost to the Camogie team there as well. You have Libby Coppinger there as well. I think Cork are in a good situation at the moment. A league final, like if they make it, great. If they don't, I don't think it'll be a disaster for the group. I think it'll be crucial more for Galway though, because that's nearly a whole new group of players in the squad, if you know what I mean. Whereas Cork, they're used to kind of success in the panel that they have already. So a league final for Galway, thinking about it even more, would probably be more beneficial to them than Cork.
Yeah. No, you definitely would say, because Galway definitely are, you know, transitioning in the team a lot more than Cork probably are at this stage. Like I said, Cork's squad looks unchanged from what it was last season. It's just a massive opportunity for Galway to kick their season off right. They would have been disappointed with, you know, that semi-final defeat to Cork. And like that was the game that kind of had me convinced that Cork were going to win the All-Ireland, because they really battled past Galway in that game. They showed more grit to get over the line. And that was the game that Cork kind of tended to be losing over the last 3 years. And they really clutched up and got the victory there that day. So I think for Galway, it's very hard to predict who wins that one. I'll probably go Tip to beat Clare. Probably go draw between Kilkenny and Waterford. And I will go Cork to beat Galway.
Interesting. Interesting predictions. I'm going to go probably, I'll say Kilkenny will beat Waterford. I still think there's a kick in that team. There should be anyway, but the quality of players there, and 3 points certainly isn't enough for the quality of players that Kilkenny have. I think Tip will beat Clare quite comfortably. Like Casey Hennessy's in form in the last few games. Eva McGrath as well. Karen Kennedy got a goal in the last game as well from centre-back. So I see nothing else other than the Tipperary winning that one. I do think Galway will win that game. I think the league final will be more important to them than it is for Cork. I think going to a league final would be great for Cork, but I don't think it'll be the be-all and end-all. So I'm going to go for Galway win in that one. So that's Division 1A. We'll move on quickly to Division 1B as well. So you have Limerick against Wexford on Saturday at 2 p.m. You have Dublin against Antrim on Saturday at 2 p.m. And then it's the outlier at Saturday at 1 p.m. You have Kerry against Down. So the situation in those games is, Wexford are on 12 points at the moment going to the last game. Dublin and Antrim are level on 9 points in second and third place. Limerick are in fourth and on 6 points. And then Down and Kerry, it's literally a relegation dogfight. I'm not sure, actually, is it a relegation playoff? If it's not a relegation playoff and the last team goes down, that's a huge game, Down and Kerry. You would expect Down to go on and win this, but Kerry could still have fight in them. You would expect Wexford to be up and going through the games as well. Dublin Antrim's actually a huge game because whoever wins that is basically in the league final against Wexford.
Yeah, and you'd imagine like Antrim definitely have the most unfinished business at Wexford after the absolute mauling that Wexford put on them. Like, that was one of the most bizarre scorelines I've ever seen. Like, Wexford scored 10 goals against Antrim, was it last time? Was it 12 goals or 10 goals?
But I know it was double digits.
I know that. So Antrim definitely have unfinished business at Wexford. Dublin have quietly gone about their business, like good victories over Limerick and stuff that really made me sit up and be like, oh, that's a good win for Dublin. Ashley Marr again has been absolutely fantastic, and the Gannon sisters have been doing their stuff again. Like, Dublin definitely have been tipping along nicely, good wins over Kerry, Down, Limerick that have definitely, you know, helped us chug along. We did lose to Wexford, but Wexford have looked, you know, imperious. I'll go for Wexford to win their game. Like, I back Wexford to win any game in the divisions. Back Wexford to beat Limerick this weekend. I'll go for Dublin against Antrim, and then I'll go for Down to beat Kerry as well in the final game.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you on all those predictions, even though I probably hope that Limerick want to win the game. Like, after the first two games, it looked like Limerick were on a promotion charge, but then the last two games, losses against Dublin and Antrim, I think it was, have kind of derailed their challenge, which is kind of unfortunate for the Limerick team. But yeah, I'd agree with you on all three of those games. And just to round off the Camogie, this game, we won't get predictions because we don't know much about it. It is in Division 2A, that is. It's Carlow against Cavan on Saturday at 2 p.m., Westmeath against Derry on Saturday at 2 p.m., and Meath against Offaly on Saturday at 2 p.m. as well. And the situation there, for context for our listeners there, is Derry are on top of the table with 12 points, obviously promoted to the senior championship this season, so they'll be gunning to go up to Division 1B. You have Westmeath in second place on 10 points, and it is Westmeath and Derry, so that's an essential promotion playoff in many ways. Offaly in third place on 6 points. It's kind of surprising to see Offaly this low. You then have Meath on 4 points, and then Carlow and Cavan both on zero, so that's the context there. In the Allianz Hurling League finals, there's all but one Allianz Hurling League final this weekend. Obviously, the one is Clare against Kilkenny. That's next weekend. We'll discuss that on the podcast next weekend. But the one game we'll probably discuss in detail rather than the other three games, because we know a bit about this at least, is the Division 2A final between Carlow against Laois. It's on at 3 p.m. on Sunday. So you would fancy Carlow to go on and win the game, considering the Arley and McCarthy side. But Laois hammered down in the semi-final, really. Paddy Purcell was brilliant in midfield the last day with one goal and a point. And Dave Ross King up in the forwards as well, doing, and right, I don't know, is Stephen Pickett-Marr going to play? But Carlow, the players that they have, Chris Nolan, Martin Mouse, Kavanagh, you would have to expect Carlow to go on and win this game.
It's definitely a tricky one to call. Like, Laois have been rebuilding nicely there. They still have players that have been key players, like Enda Rowland, who's obviously made his 100th appearance for Laois in the league this season. Paddy Purcell, Ross King, you mentioned up front. Like, these are all players that were key players when they were beating Dublin in 2019. And yeah, as they won the John McDonagh Cup. So the players are still there. Carlow, though, you're right, Carlow seem on a bit of a roll, and like, I know that they lost last week, they lost to Kildare, was on the Friday night game.
Last game, two weeks ago.
But I don't think that's going to derail them too much. Like, you look at the form of players like Chris Nolan, Kevin McDonald at six as well, have been really, really good. I think all signs do point to Carlow winning because of their momentum, but I do think Laois are actually rebuilding quite nicely. And when you look at the Joe McDonagh Cup, like, you've got Westmeath there, you've got Offaly there, you've got Laois there. Like, it's going to be difficult to pick a winner out of that.
Yeah, exactly. And I would predict Carlow to go on and win the game as well, even though Laois should put up a challenge. And while we're on the Joe McDonagh Cup, Saoirse Bolfin has actually resigned as Meath manager. So obviously we wish him well in the future. He resigned because of family reasons, apparently family concerns and stuff like that. So they'll probably be in a relegation dogfight. It's just a shame that He left his post as a Meath manager. We'll move on to the other three finals this weekend as well. And before actually the finals go through there, Carlow Leash, for context for listeners, are promoted to Division 1B. No matter what happens this weekend, they're promoted along. They're in the division alongside Dublin, Waterford, Offaly. My brain's gone now. Antrim and Westmeath, they're the other five teams in Division 1B next season. So well done to both sides on making it that far. We'll move on to the other three finals this weekend in hurling. So you have Derry against Tyrone and Owen Big on Saturday at 5:30 p.m. That's the Division 2B final. You have the Division 3A final between Mayo and Sligo in McHale Park, Castlebar on Sunday at 2 p.m. Like a Connacht Derby, like Sligo has some good players like Gerard O'Kelly Lynch and all them, but you would expect Mayo, like they've the Phillips, Adrian, and Cormac, I think, in this team. So they will be going to want to win this game. Derry as well, like for the record, I think Derry will go on and win the game against Tyrone. Cormac O'Doherty and the rest of the Schlotley lads, they'll be going to go on and win the game. And then you have the Division 3B final between Fermanagh and Warwickshire on Sunday at 2 p.m. Fermanagh have the likes of Luca McCusker there, who's an absolutely brilliant hurler. Obviously, one of former Fermanagh hurler in and around the panel, Kieran Breslin, was on your podcast as well. Worth shouting that out. You have Warwickshire, very good forward at the ball, but especially Jack Reid at centre forward. No, lads, it's not the Manchester City winger. It is a guy from Warwickshire called Jack Reid. So he's providing a wreck at the moment and did very well in their semi-final victory. So I won't ask you to give predictions in this, Seamus, but just to end the podcast, like how important is it to kind of raise awareness for these hurling finals? It's kind of a shame that they're on the same weekend as the football finals, and that probably brings in the calendar kind of discussion as well, that these finals aren't getting enough love in many ways.
Yeah, no, it brings it back to the content coverage and everything like that, and having league finals and stuff like that. That, like, the league finals aren't being played in Croke Park, which is a bit of a shame. Like, personally, I think I don't understand why there's so many divisions in hurling. Like 1A, 1B, 2A, 2B. Why don't we just have 1, 2, 3, 4? Like, again, just overcomplicating it, as far as I'm concerned. If you were to have it 1, 2, 3, 4, you could do a weekend of it just like you do with the football.
To be fair, they're bringing the system next year, Division 1A, Division 1B, and then Division 2, Division 3, Division 4. So they're actually making strides on this, to be fair.
They're making strides on it, yeah. But again, why 1A, 1B? Like, come on, just
to make up the number. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't know. And then 17s instead of 18. Like, it's just a bit awkward. I'm just like, come on, man, just I know that there's more teams. I get that, like, there's Warwickshire and Lancashire, and we have to think about those teams in the championship and everything like that. In the league, sorry. But like, I think that there's a way in which you could structure the league so that they'd all be finishing on the same weekend, and then you could have the finals take place on the same weekend. You'd imagine as well, like the LGFA finals where you have the three games on in the day, Croke Park would be able to take that, three finals in a day.
Yeah, exactly. And it is very good points you make as well. And before we end the podcast, it's worth noting that a new story that came out in the last few weeks concerning hurling teams, there's another one to add. New York are going to be in the Laurie Mar Cup, I think, in the near future as well. So obviously that's great to see more teams, more participation in hurling. Obviously hurling in the Bronx and the States itself is absolutely brilliant to see, no doubt about that. But that brings an end to the podcast. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. I am follow Gaelic Statsman on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, all social media platforms, X, of course, as well. Thanks to Seamus for coming on. Follow on Cliha, great account on YouTube, Spotify, TikTok particularly. It's a brilliant account that Seamus has over there. And until the next podcast, lads, we'll see you all then, and take care.